Namam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshvaram vinash yatsvavanashantam yakpashyati sapashyati. One who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible bodies ever destroyed actually sees. Please repeat. One who sees the super soul,
one who sees the super soul
accompanying the individual soul,
accompanying the individual soul
in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul,
nor the super soul
within the destructible body
is ever destroyed
actually sees. Purport. Anyone who by good association can see three things combined together, the body, the proprietor of the body, or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually knowledge, and thus when it is the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body, and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually it is not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the super soul exist, and they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word Parameshvara is sometimes translated as the individual soul. Because the soul is the master of the body, and after the destruction of the body, he transfers to another form. In that way, he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshvara to be the super soul. In either case, both the super soul and the individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way can actually see what is happening. So the verse again. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshvaram vinashyati. Navinashantam yakpashyati sapashyati. One who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutve Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namine Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Gurucharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyaya Deshatarini. What makes Krishna consciousness difficult to understand is that it's so simple. Because everyone is so complicated, therefore when we hear the simple philosophy, we think, oh, there must be something more. There is something more, but in order to understand it, we have to become simple like the philosophy. Many times people read the Bhagavad Gita and they think, oh, I heard this so many times, I wish I'd say, it probably keeps on repeating the same thing again and again. I wish he'd say something more interesting. Like, maybe he'd have some purport where he'd explain, we are the body. Then I could relate to it more. But although it's very simple, it's very deep in the sense that in order to actually realize that we're not the body, it takes many years of trying to understand the philosophy and correctly applying it within our lives. Because if we probably notice throughout the day, we don't always act as if we were not the body. Sometimes we come to class and I'm not the body in class, and as soon as I walk out of class, I immediately become the body again. Or more likely than even being a body, I become a mind, full of emotions and feelings. Or I walk around with my conception of life, and my conception of life allows many things that Bhagavad Gita doesn't allow. In any case, here it says the philosophy is quite simple. Yavat sandayate kinchit, satvam stavra jangamam, Kshetra Kshetragya Samyoga Tadvidi Varatara Shiva. One who can see that Samam Pashant, Yavat Sanjayate Kinchit. Yavat, when? Whatever Sanjayate Kinchit. Whatever existence we see, Sakam Stavara Janma, both among the moving and the non-living entities, Kshetra, Kshetraya, Samyoga, it's just a combination of the field and the knower of the field. In other words, all there is people who are living entities, souls, and then what they're conscious of, their bodies. But actually, although we identify people with their bodies, but actually they're not the body. They're the soul within the body. Therefore, we don't really see the people that we think we're seeing. We see their bodies. And what we see is not even the soul. We see the conception of the soul manifested through his activities of the body. Not even the soul is not even doing anything directly. He's desiring according to his conception of life, and Krishna's arranging through the material energy that different activities go on to satisfy the desires, which are generally arising out of a misconception of life, misconception of reality. Therefore, we see a jumbled up, mix up of desires and conceptions of life and material nature acting. We see everything, but we don't see the soul. Therefore, one has to at least theoretically understand that all that exists is just souls and in bodies, along with the super soul, going through a big drama which actually has no meaning. Although we pay great importance to this big drama that we think is going on, but actually it's useless. No one in the spiritual world would want to see a movie produced by in the material world, no matter how much they paid for it. Because it's just useless. It's just the same thing. Puna punas charavita charavanana. The same drama that we think is going on in our life, they portray and spend billions of dollars sometimes to portray on the screen. And especially if it's in three dimension, then it costs even more. Here, three-dimension dramas are going on all the time. No one wants to pay for them. Or sometimes you have to pay for them in court. Hopefully they don't cost so many billions of dollars. But it's the same thing going on over and over again. Everyone, basically it just boils down to everyone would like, as Krishna says, Ichcha dvesha samutena dvandva mahena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargayanti purandapa. Everyone would like to be God and is giving a very sincere effort in that respect. People are very sincere in what they're doing in their attempts to become God. And they're always frustrated because they haven't made any progress, although they've so sincerely attempted to do so since time immemorial. But they're very patient. Maya has given us great patience. Although we've been here for trillions of lifetimes of Brahma, we've made absolutely no progress, but still we're willing to stay here trillions of lifetimes more and see if we can make a little progress in the future. So that's the definition of madness. When you do the same thing repeatedly for billions and trillions of lifetimes, and the same thing happens every time you do it, you think this time it's going to be different. But the illusory energy is very kind. She allows us to be an illusion for as long as we want. Long after we're all back in the spiritual world, many souls will be here giving it the good old try. A good old college try, what did they say? And of course, because most everyone is a failure in terms of material life, they project their success on something which is useless also. Like they'll waste their time watching football. They think, let's make the goal of life to get this ball across that line. As if old age and disease and death will disappear once the ball goes across the line, at least across the opponent's side. And lo and behold, finally the ball gets across the line, and we're still suffering from birth, death, old age, and disease, but we have a ball across the line. We've made at least that goal. So if we're successful to that extent, maybe in the future, if we get enough balls across the line, old age, disease, and death will gradually go away. So that's more or less madness. But at least we want our side won and the other side lost. So even if we die, at least we die happy. So we've created all these meaningless goals, and since we can't fulfill any of them, ultimately, even if we can, they're all only temporary, therefore we assign success to others. And it gets down to the point that people spend their lives, even adults probably, just reading comic books. Because here, Krishna is not the hero. Some person with all the qualities, with some of the qualities of Krishna, he's the hero. So we've created a world in our imagination where God does not exist, but someone has all the mystical powers that he has. So the material world is just an attempt to get rid of Krishna out of the equation. Unfortunately, while we did that, we also got rid of ourselves out of the equation. And we put some false conception of ourselves as the hero of some drama that's going on, this body or this mind. But it's not a very exciting, especially in Kali Yuga, it's not really very exciting. It's always the same drama. Boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy and girl fall out of love, boy and girl hate each other. And they spend the rest of their lives trying to figure out what to do with the children who hate both the parents. So the Jayadvaita Swami said, what began courting winds up in court at the end. So people still are thinking, you know, somehow or another it's all going to work out. That I'm just somewhere out there, my soulmate is there. The man is thinking, I'm looking for a true bona fide slave. Someone will actually surrender, do everything I need and want and more. Because I'm always thinking, how can I serve him? And the woman is thinking the same thing. You know, by my potency, how he'll surrender to me, he'll work overtime every day. And he'll never complain. Now, no matter what I cook, no matter how I look, it's perfect. And it's always getting better, even when I'm 90 years old. So everyone is an illusion, and it pays to be an illusion, because otherwise we think we were wasting our time, which we are. But we think we were wasting our time, that would even be worse. So Krishna's arranged the material world for everyone to waste their time and think that they're making progress. Otherwise they couldn't continue. But here Krishna is saying everything is quite simple. There's a soul, there's a super soul. Krishna is fulfilling our illusory desires, or if we want, he'll fulfill our true desires, become Krishna conscious, and instead of creating a next material circumstance to play another imaginary, or have another imaginary idea that this body is, I'm involved in some drama because I'm in some drama body that's going through some drama, and therefore I am going through the drama. Rather, my body is going through the drama, and I'm simply witnessing it, observing it, experiencing it, and this drama is going to be the same thing as every other drama since time immemorial. we had a great time for a few days, and now we got to work. Like chewing bubble gum. You chew the bubble gum for some time, there's some sweetness there, and then there, all the sugar goes out, and then you're just working. Of course, that's all right if people were dutiful and then they did their duty and at the same time became Krishna conscious, and then everything would be meaningful. But because people have no sense of Krishna consciousness, they chew on the bubble gum for a little while, all the sweetness goes out, and they spit out the bubble gum thinking, well, this was not the one I was looking for. Let me get another piece and chew that for a while. So their whole life is just picking up bubble gum pieces, chewing them for a while, and then spitting them out. And there's no other they think there's no other goal of life, there's no other purpose. Just to get some, we have this body, chew it until the last breath. Keep on chewing it until there's nothing left to chew, and then spit it out. But, first of all, in Kali Yuga especially, there's not much sugar in the bubble gum. There's not much time to chew it, and there is a much higher goal of life. That goal of life is to realize that we are spiritual souls, that we are eternal, and that we have a much higher goal of life than just trying to do something which we can't do, namely to become the controllers here, to become the enjoyers here, to become the object of worship of others that we're actually providing, maintaining, and protecting others. Because not that we shouldn't act as Krishna's instrument, but ultimately we should see that whatever is being done by this body is really being done, if not on behalf of Krishna, but at least by Krishna's energies, that we're actually not doing anything. We're simply observing and desiring, and we desire that Krishna utilizes this body for his purpose, that we dutifully maintain our families, maintain this body even, and at the same time realize that our purpose of life is to become Krishna conscious. And not take credit if this happens or that happens, because it's not happening by our mercy, it's happening by the something good happens is because we've come in contact with the bona fide representative of Krishna, and we had the good sense of surrendering to those instructions they've been given to us, so that Krishna can take charge and do something beneficial for ourselves and others. It's not possible for us to do any benefit for ourselves unless we're actually willing to do benefit for others also. And the only way of doing benefit for others and even for ourselves is by surrendering to Krishna's instructions, which come from Krishna's bona fide representatives. If we do that, then Krishna takes charge, and then he does something good for ourselves and good for everyone else. And as soon as we take credit for it, then we become overpowered by our false ego, and then we don't do good for ourselves or for anyone else. We just fall into the same dreamlike state that everyone else is in, thinking that I'm actually the benefactor, I'm the doer, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, but actually we just become the sufferer and the person in illusion, being controlled by the illusory energy. Therefore the conclusion is, we should look at everyone and simply think, here's a body, and in that body there's a soul, and there's a super soul, and that this soul is Krishna's eternal servant. And I'm also Krishna's eternal servant, and I should just try to help them by helping them become Krishna conscious. That's all my duty is. Of course, we should try to, if we have other obligations, we should maintain those obligations. But ultimately, even in those other obligations, we feed our family, we maintain them, help them become Krishna conscious. It's all part of the process. Just like in the Hare Krishna movement, we have philosophy, and then we have our chanting, and then we also serve prasadam. Not that we preach, you're not the body, you're not really doing anything, it's not your family, you know, and therefore we don't serve any food. Or we teach our brahmacharis, when you go home, if your mother comes up and says, son, I missed you so much, don't touch me, I'm a brahmachari. You're not my mother. You're not that body. Get out of your illusion. Wake up. No, we don't teach people to become, to act inappropriately. Although the brahmachari should think within himself, not that I, when I'm with my mom, I become like a little boy again. No, we should remember who we are, but act appropriately. Like Priyavrata Maharaj, he knew within himself that he was Krishna's eternal servant, but still he acted the part of a perfect householder and appreciated the activities, at least externally, of his wife, trying to serve him in the best possible, in the most appropriate way. But within himself, he always maintained his consciousness of being Krishna's eternal servant. So we should think like that. Everyone is Krishna's servant. I have really nothing materially to gain here or anything to lose. It's simply every moment is an opportunity to serve Krishna. And especially in this age, to remind people that they're actually Krishna's servant and that they can easily become aware of Krishna just by chanting his holy name. More than that, we don't really have great obligations to stop climate change, save the polar bears, the penguins, the whales, and we can add on so many things to our list so that every moment we can be completely anxiety of all the problems that are going on. And then for when we get time off, then we can turn on television and get some more problems. just to make sure our life is up to date. We're not behind the times. All the whales have disappeared, so there's no more whale problem. now we gotta save the penguins before they disappear. No, everyone's gonna disappear. Either today or tomorrow. But the question is whether or not the human beings especially, their lives are being properly directed so that they can chant Hare Krishna, hear some philosophy, understand their actual identity, and make some real, utilize this opportunity in a factually realistic way. Utilize it in the best possible way, rather than simply wasting it on meaningless activities, trying to fulfill meaningless dreams which will never be accomplished. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Moment of silence for the penguins. Yes.
Which process of devotional service, in your opinion, or in your studies, have you seen as the best way to get out of the control of the mind and the body and the drama that that creates?
Well, the best thing to do is to hear submissively something about Krishna, whether it's the chanting of the holy names or to read Prabhupada's books. So somehow or another hearing. Because we're constantly hearing from the mind, and the intelligence is constantly speaking to us. 24 hours a day, even our dreams are speaking to us. So we have to hear something which is a little bit more clear when our minds are... We have to hear something which will clarify our minds and intelligence. So that's the hearing process. We hear repeatedly, and we hear especially about how to develop the right attitude in hearing. And gradually, the hearing process will have some effect. It's not just hearing and maintaining our present attitude, but to hear, realizing I'm actually in difficulty. It's not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. I thought I'd just come to the Hare Krishna movement, live my normal everyday life, become self-realized, and continue on what I was doing before. But self-realized, of course. But it doesn't work. We have to develop a different mentality. So that hearing should help us do that. So we have to become receptive that maybe I might be doing something wrong. Although, don't tell my false ego that. They would not be very happy to hear that. So we have to become willing to give up some of that false ego by hearing from the right source with the right attitude. Then we'll see that actually I do have to take shelter of Krishna and his representatives, or else I may have get into more and more difficulty, or I may not get out of my present difficulty.
Can you define what super soul is?
Super soul. Someone who's a super soul. We're the soul, we're the ones who are conscious of the body, and there's a soul who's a super soul, like Superman. So he's in everyone's body. We're in this body, we're conscious of the body. But to be a super soul, you have to be in everyone's body, and conscious of everyone's body. That's why we call him a super soul. He's a person like us, or we're a person like him, but he's able to do things that we can't even imagine. And he's just a partial expansion of Krishna. Just like, for instance, we can directly perceive his presence in the sense that he's the one who's supplying us with intelligence, with forgetfulness, and with knowledge. So I'm aware, and everyone's aware, and we're speaking his philosophy to more or less get everyone on the same line. For instance, he says that everyone's body is changing, and we can see everyone's body is changing. Everyone can agree with that. Only a person who's completely mad would think that their body isn't changing. But everyone can perceive also that they're within the body, but they're not changing. We're all within our bodies, but we're all conscious of so many different bodies. So therefore, we ourselves as souls, we're not actually changing. But what we're aware of is changing. So he gives us that philosophy. Now, another side, in terms of just practical everyday life, just like if I want to remember something, I may or may not remember it. It doesn't completely depend upon me. There is another energy, at least, there's another entity which is in control of my remembrance and my forgetfulness. And even my awareness. For instance, I may want to know where the sugar in the kitchen is. So I have to ask, some question has to be there, and then someone has to supply me with intelligence. So I'm always questioning, everyone is always questioning. And then some answer is being supplied, and sometimes it's not being supplied. But even an ant may be thinking the same thing I'm thinking, where is the sugar? And someone's supplying the ant also with intelligence, how to get the sugar. And perhaps it's supplying more intelligence to the ant than it is to me, because the ant will get there before I will. So that personality, who is just like the father giving instructions to his son, or the teacher instructing his student, that same personality is in everyone's heart, giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So he's known as the super soul. He's not only giving us remembrance how to do what we're doing, but even in the heart of the sun god, he's also giving the sun god intelligence, so he's able to move the sun planet properly. So the whole universe is going on under his guidance by the intelligence he's supplying to every living entity within this universe. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijaya. Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya. Gaur Premandev.